Live from Atlanta, site of Super Bowl 53, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That's true. I am Jim Rome. I am live on Radio Row, site of Super Bowl 53. Well, the game's not played on the row, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm living my best life. We are having an amazing Wednesday program. Hour number one in the books. In case you're joining us late, we already had a conversation with Deshaun Watson, also with Baker Mayfield, John McLemore, Marquise Goodwin. Coming up this hour, right now, my man William McGinnis is on the clock. He is fulfilling some obligations with NFL Network. We're going to run him down in a few moments. Also coming up later on this hour, a Rams point of view. Former Ram great, Torrey Holt. And he's been breaking down the Rams in and around the media center. He's got a lot of really good information. Great energy. Torrey Holt's coming up at 20 past. Later on this hour, Carson Palmer will be on the row and back in the jungle. So that's how hour number two sets up. Third hour, we may or may not have Robbie Gould. If not, that's an open segment for you clones. I'm still trying to give away that smoker. Also next hour, Juju Smith-Schuster and Saquon Barkley. So Wednesday, we are wall to wall. Meantime, I've got a little break in the action right now as I'm efforting Willie McGinnis. You should take advantage of it. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Call. Hit me up on Twitter. Bitter and Hops tweets. Why did Willie McGinnis never go into coaching? His knowledge of the game and the leadership he showed during his playing years seem like he'd be perfect for coaching. I can't speak for him. Maybe I'll ask him. He'd be a hell of a coach. William McGinnis would be a great coach. The way he sees the game, the kind of respect that he commands. He's another one of those guys, when he walks in the room, you know he's somebody. When William McGinnis walks in the room, you know it. And not just because physically, he's a pretty large person. He just has, again, that it. And we're going to run him down momentarily. I want to get his thoughts. And also, obviously, he's close with Tom Brady's, with the Patriots. And I want to see what he thought about it, how they looked earlier in the season, and how it's all going to go down on Sunday. On top of that, other topics. You know, I may get to it. A lot going on in the NBA. The Lakers trying to hold on, trying to make a deal before the trade deadline. Anthony Davis busted out. He busted out and said that he wanted to be dealt, that he's not going to re-sign in New Orleans, and then got fined 50 gur. 50 gur for saying that. Because you can't just come out and say, hey, I want to be traded. You really think that guy cares about 50 grand? I mean, nobody wants to stroke that check. You think a guy who just left $240 million on the table in a super max extension really gives a damn about 50 grand? My man's probably walking around with that money in his pocket right now. So, can the Lakers make a deal before the deadline, or my man Dell Demps, or the Big West Conference? Would Dell Demps make a deal before waiting for the Celtics to jump into it, which they can and will in the summertime? And if you're the Lakers, can you somehow leverage that and get a package together in time to get him out of there first? Jimmy D87 tweets, this cat is the truth. John McLemore, Marquise Goodwin. They both are. Matt in Poland Springs tweets, Baker Mayfield haiku. Baker is top pick, leads Browns to 7 big wins and a playoff win next year. Daniel Buck tweets, this is all Baker reaction, by the way. Daniel Buck tweets, OMG, the true GOAT is on Jim Rome right now. The QB for the real America's team is feeling dangerous with Romy. Actually, he wasn't. You know, he wasn't dangerous. He didn't come here looking to take anybody apart. He's locked in, man. He is really consistent in the way he carries himself, the way he prepares. The guy's a star. He is a star. And they got the right guy. They got the right coach. They got the right quarterback. But it's more than just that. You know, everybody talks so much about Belichick and Brady. Brady and Belichick. Best quarterback or best coach-player relationship in the history of any sports. Maybe. But the Browns, they have a great coach quarterback relationship, but there's so much more than that. There is so much young talent on both sides of the ball there. This is why I keep calling them America's team. Not only for that talent, but for the way they go out and the way they do it and the way they win, even the way they lose. I can't take my eyes off them. They're America's team. Freddie Kitchens is America's coach, and America's quarterback finally made it over to the jungle on Radio Row. Another reason to do Radio Row. I mean, look, these guys are here to pitch things, right? We understand this. but if it'll get you a good sit down and good access to a guy that you ordinarily might not have, it's fine. It's good. In fact, it's better than good. And I've got something to pitch to you. A Masterbuilt smoker. Best call gets it. Or it could be a tweet. Or it can be an email as well. Check it out. Keith Arnold back in our SoCal studios. Why don't you hit me with a call screen just in case? As I'm efforting Willie right now. We're live on the row. It is cold. It is cold in the ATL. Of course, I don't really go outside much. Don't need to the way this thing's set up. Let's get a phone call in here really quickly before I go to Willie McGinnis. Terry in Boise. Good to have you, Terry. What's up?
What's happening, Romy? It's your boy in Boise. Thank you for inspiring me to bring it every day, even when you're on the road. Have a blast in Atlanta. First off, a bit of braggadocio. After all, that's the American way, the American mentality. Americans can fight, while Canadians are historical pushovers, forever neutral Canadian punks. I bet I'm a better marksman than those American wannabes. Tell Mr. McLemore I need that Masterbuilt smoker for this Applewood and premium Rocky Mountain protein my grandfather and I put down. You ever had smoked black bear, Romy? My uncle's the fish and game commissioner here in Idaho, so I'm the wild game plug. Unlike the rest of you clones, I live in a state that people actually want to live in. Forbes ranked Boise the fastest growing in the union. I can attest to anecdotally.
Terry, you're breaking up, man. Sorry about that. Now you're done. Not a second too soon. Tell you what, Terry, instead of me giving you a Masterbuilt smoker for that call, you ought to give me one for that call. What do I get out of it? We're joined right now by a very good friend of the program, an NFL Network analyst, a three-time Super Bowl champ, a 15-year NFL vet, 16 career postseason sacks. That is an NFL record. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Willie McGinnis, and you can see Willie on NFL Game Day morning on Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern, and that includes Willie's sit-down with Tom Brady. Willie McGinnis is my guest. What's up, big fella? How you feeling?
Jim, man, I saw the stage from afar, and the first thing I asked Christian was, am I going on Jim's show? I got to make sure I always make my rounds. I always get here, man.
I appreciate you for it.
It's been a long time, and you're still doing an amazing job, and it's always a pleasure, man, every time I'm on the show. So it's good to be here.
Man, Will, you always say that. You don't need to tell me that, but I so appreciate it.
It's the truth.
Really good to see you, and you're doing great, too. So what do you make of the whole scene? You've done this before. You've seen this before. You know what the Patriots what's going through their mind right now. What do you make of this week to this point?
I think it's great, man. I think when you look at the production and everything that goes into a game like this, you really don't see this as a player until you're on the other side or you're retired or you're out of it. I think it's great, the build-up. I think there's two great teams about to battle. There's no comparison to Super Bowl 36 versus 53. None of those guys really know anything about it, except for Brady and Belichick and a couple of coaches on the staff. But I think this is going to be something to watch. The matchups, the head coaches, the adjustments. I look at all the little things to this game, man. There's a lot of storylines, but it's two really good teams. There's no lopsided now like it was back then. Like two evenly, talented teams going into battle against each other.
We're talking to Willie McGinnis. Now, as I mentioned, you sat down with Tom Brady. I'm not looking for you to give away the gist of the interview, but can you share a takeaway or two? What struck you the most about him and what he had to say to you?
Just how he's still so motivated and how he loves the game of football, and he's relishing the opportunity that he's here again. And I know it's his ninth appearance, right? It's good. It's his third, second. He's not talking about any of that. He's talking about this time, how special this time is, and how much this means to him and the team, and how things will probably change next year. It changes every year, but you just don't think about it as a player. You lose coaches, which they'll lose coaches again. You'll lose players. Things will change. And to be able to get here when nobody gave you an opportunity or nobody gave you a shot in hell that you would get to this game, it's pretty special. So just kind of reflecting on that and how motivated he is that everybody went against him.
Right.
Early on, everybody went against him.
Did they? Did they really? Like when he says
to
Tracy Wolfson, man, everybody thinks we suck. Nobody thinks we can win.
We did a collage, Jim, on our show. We pulled up all the sound bites from all the different shows of everybody saying how the dynasty over, Brady's losing it, this team's not the same, I don't know if they can make it, how hot from the Chiefs and Chargers, all the other teams. Nobody wants to play Baltimore. Like, there's so much. And do you think
I think I said every one of those things at one point during the year.
And do you think Bill Belichick pulled all that stuff down
and
made a whole little, hey, guys, this is what they think
check
about you. And just let it run. And just let it run. I mean, I know it's coming from him now that he's in the game. People's like, oh, well, nobody thought that. But think about 5 weeks ago. A lot of people thought that.
What did you think 5 weeks ago?
I think that they needed to go in and self-correct. I watched the tape. I broke some things down. They were 3-5 on the road. They were playing bad.
Right.
If the Houston Texans don't lose to Philadelphia, they're a wild card team on the road. Think about it. Things wasn't perfect, you know, as far as this team, the way it shaped out did, to get the second seed and had a bye. But outside of that, they probably could have been on the road as a wild card team. So things wasn't perfect. But when I went back and broke things down, I was like, a lot of that stuff that's happening to them is self-inflicted, and they can correct it. And if you know this team and you know this coach and this staff, what do they do better than anybody? They adjust and they make corrections.
Willie McGinnis joining us, and especially when they've got that extra week. It's always said, Willie, that you got to deal with Bill Belichick, who's got 2 weeks to get ready for you. It's not going to go well for the other guy. I mean, what do you make of that? How tough is it to go up against him when he has that extra week? And what's that extra week like as a player?
It is tough. It is tough because they're so calculated. They prep better than anybody. And they put you in position, and if you're one of those teams, and I'm not saying the Rams are, but if you're one of those teams that you're consistent at what you do, they're going to pick it apart. You know, we saw that with the Chargers. You come in there with the same scheme that you did against Baltimore, what happened? They ran right through it. You cannot do that. And this team has been the best in the last 19 years to be able to adjust from week to week and changing their game plan and not giving you the same looks or attacking you differently. But I will say this. There's a guy on the other side of the fence as well that's as good in Sean McVay. I'm not comparing him to Bill Belichick by any means, but I'm saying is I've watched him adjust. I've watched him morph game plans and change things from week to week and attack defenses and teams differently. So that right there is special within itself because you got now a young guy in his second season in a Super Bowl game that's able to make those adjustments and do some of the similar things.
All right, so, Billy, if Belichick can take away Todd Gurley, can Jared Goff beat the Patriots? If they make him beat them, can he do it?
Anything could happen. I mean, he can go out. We've seen him throw for 400 or 500 yards. Like, he plays well. But can they take Jared Goff out the game is the question. Can you stop Cooks on the outside? What about CJ when they switch up the running backs, you know? What about Robert Woods, one of the better route runners in the business? Like, what formations? Who's going to be the go-to guy? What routes are you going to see? I think on both sides, you're going to see different things. You're not going to see the exact same thing we saw a couple of weeks ago when this game kicks off. So that's going to be the start of the game. Can you weather the storm of how this game is going to start?
Isn't that first drive?
It is.
The Patriots' first drive?
Right. They held the ball against the Chiefs for 8 minutes.
Dude, it sucked the life right out of them. I mean, yeah, they came back.
Right.
But that is a soul-sucking drive, right? 8.5 minutes, right down the field on you.
What does that do to you for a defense? You
know, it's got to be demoralizing, right?
Right. But they bounce back. And the good teams do that. You understand, look, it's a long game. Okay, that happened. Now we're on the sideline making adjustments. This is what we got to do. Same with the Rams. They're explosive. They're probably more explosive on paper than the Patriots.
Well, I think so. Yeah. I think so. But then again, I would have said on paper the Chargers were a more talented team. We saw what happened to them.
Paper don't win championships or games,
right? Hell no, it doesn't. Hell no, it doesn't. Willie, one last thought. So, like, you've got Belichick and you've got Brady, one of the greatest partnerships in the history of any sport. I know neither one of these guys are done. Tom made it really clear there's a 0% chance that he won't play next year. But ultimately, how does that thing end? Does Tom go first? Does Brady go first? Do they go out, or Belichick go first? Do they go out together? How does that thing ultimately end?
I'm not sure. I think they both still have a big passion, a huge passion for the game. You know, when you talk to Tom, he's like a kid, man. He's enjoying every moment and every opportunity. You talk to Bill, he hasn't let up. He's still in the building all day and all night. He's still game planning. He loves these opportunities. He loves coaching these kids. He loves going out there and doing the same thing. So the passion is still there. And when you're so successful, Jim, how can you walk away from something that's so great? Like, 3 consecutive Super Bowls? Like, you're winning. Like, you're dominating a division. You're dominating the AFC. Like,
why leave any of the money on the table? But you know what I would say, Willie? I would say this. And you can relate to this because of the way you worked and still do work. Maybe you lose the passion for the grind. Maybe you lose a passion to prepare. The thing that impresses me the most about Brady is he loves that stuff.
Right.
He loves that stuff. And obviously, if you love doing that work and you love preparing, Sunday's the best day ever.
It is. And it's a lot of guys in that locker room like that. And that's why they're in this game. They understand the grind. They understand the sacrifice. And it starts at the top. So when you have a bunch of men in that's all they care about, and they know what the end result is, which is here, and how sweet it is once you win, that becomes infectious, man. It's like a disease. Like, you can never get over that.
Huh.
And that's the expectation. It's not winning a division. It's not winning a playoff game. It's not winning the AFC championship. It's feeling the confetti fall on top of your head and saying we're the best in the world again. Like, that right there is an undescribable feeling. No matter what you do, you can never get that unless you experience it. And then once you experience it, it becomes infectious.
You want to keep doing it.
You want to keep doing it.
William McGinnis, you can watch him on NFL Game Day morning on Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern. Also, look for his sit-down with Tom Brady on the NFL Network. My man, I appreciate you coming by.
Always
stopping in to see me, and I appreciate it, Willie, so
you
much.
You look good, too, Jim, man. Thanks for
Thank
having
you,
me,
man.
Brother.
You too, Will. You look great.
Thank you.
You look awesome. William McGinnis, one of my all-time favorite guests, representing. Good to see you, Willie. He was such an amazing player. Great leader, too. Talking about the Patriots. When we come back, former Ram great Torrey Holt will be joining us. Hey, guys, never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt. You might think it makes you look casual, but more than likely, you end up looking like a slob. This is why Untuck It makes shirts that are specifically designed to be worn untucked. A casual shirt that's not too long, not too short, it's just right. Shirts designed so well that GQ calls them, quote, perfection. Untuck It shirts are a go-to for any occasion, from casual to dressy. Not only do they look good, they feel amazing. Impeccable craftsmanship and attention to detail make Untuck It the only choice for the untucked man. With more than 50 sizing options, every guy can find the perfect shirt. So log on to untuckit.com, check out all the new arrivals. Use the promo code ROME20 for 20% off your entire first-time purchase. You can also visit Untuck It in one of their over 35 retail locations across the country. Stop hiding your shirt with your pants, and your pants with your shirt. Untuckit.com, your solution to perfecting casual. Use the promo code ROME20 and get 20% off. Promo code ROME20 for 20% off.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. We are live on the row. Torrey Holt has been moved to the top of hour number three. So I've got an open segment right now. This might be the segment I give away the Masterbuilt smoker. In fact, this segment is brought to you by Masterbuilt. Get ready for the big game. Make sure you have a Masterbuilt electric smoker. Masterbuilt smokers let you work smarter, not harder. Master the art of smoking and enjoy slow smoke goodness every single time. Let Masterbuilt do all the work. You can take all the credit. Available at Home Depot, Lowe's, Sam's Club, Academy, Bass Pro, and Cabela's. And you can find recipes and information at masterbuilt.com. But because Torrey Holt is moving to the top of the next hour, I've got phone lines that are open right now. 1-800-636-8686. Dave Whalen in the house. All right, so these guys, all of these people are bidding for the free smoker. Let's check it out. Chad Clore 2 tweets, "It's cold in the ATL, huh? Minus 31. This was my commute in Duluth today. Can we use the Masterbuilt smoker for the heat?" Right Note DJ tweets, "FedEx guy here. Braving the elements in Michigan, out delivering degenerates their iPhones. Would be great to come home to some smoked meat via a new Masterbuilt smoker." It's good. I like that. Shox Rock 17. I had that one earlier. "Baker Mayfield deserves the Masterbuilt smoker after this interview, but I will accept it on his behalf." Yeah, bro, and I'm sure he appreciates that. Ike Beltran tweets, "My smoker is rusted up from these cold Wisco winters. She was 24 degrees this morning. Hook me up." Tim Rowley tweets, forced to make it work in whiteout and minus 45 wind chill. Listening to Masterbuilt John talk about the smoker, fired up for food and the game. Give me that smoker. Monster T, 23 tweets, stud after stud today. Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield, and now this smoker king, John McLemore. My man John McLemore's got to love that. Mentioned in the same sentence with Deshaun Watson and Baker Mayfield. Hey, my man John McLemore just woke up feeling dangerous. That's what that is. He walked on this set like he owned it. And I mean that in a good, good way. The best way possible. A.K.A. Ray tweets, just heard the interview, Romy. I'm overdue for some new smoker tech. My old one is gathering dust in the backyard. McLemore got me excited to go smoke something. Justin tweets, the more I hear John talk about that Masterbuilt smoker, the more I want to turn my car around and run through a Home Depot wall like the Kool-Aid Man. I want one.
Yeah.
Hashtag, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Bro, you don't need to run through a wall to get it. You don't need to climb over the wall to get it. You just need to send me a better tweet than that. All right, I'll take that all under advisement. Maybe a caller rips it instead. Let's go to New York. John in New York. Hey, John, good to have you on. What's up?
Jim, it's great to see you on the set. Handling your business as usual, looking like the champ you are. I can't believe they put this bum on the TV in place of the show. I mean, I want to just go outside and bury myself in the snow and forget about life. But anyway, Jim, I want to say I think New England's going to take this. It's going to be 31-20. I think Tom Brady's going to rip the MVP and come back next year and probably do it again. And, Jim, maybe the Masterbuilt smoker, Brad and the BIC, could probably use that to smoke out the two stains that he had on his drawers the day of the smack-off. Jim, can't wait to see you in the Radio Hall of Fame this year. Let's bring it up a notch a little bit, clones, and get Jim in. Have a good day, Jim, and I'll see you back then.
You got it, John. Nice job. Thank you very much. You have a great day. He can't believe that the TV folks put that bum on and took us off the air. You know, the bum, the commissioner, you know how he meets with the press every year at this time? Yeah, I'm all right with it. It's okay. He is the commissioner. That'll happen. So on CBS Sports Network, you're hearing the radio show. The radio show is going on live on CBS Sports Network. We've got the commissioner doing his media address. When that's over, we will take it back on CBS Sports Network. So don't sweat that, John. I'll be back. 1-800-636-8686. All that said, I'd love to give away that smoker this segment if I could. Let's go to Mike in Cleveland. Mike, how are you? What's up?
Hey, Mr. Rome, how you doing?
Good, bud. How about you?
Real good. A little cold. A smoker would come in handy in my backyard. I'd fire it up today. It's only 30 below zero at the wind chill. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Mayfield, he's lit a match under this fan base, and that's just what we needed here in Cleveland, Jim. You know, me and you talked a few times about what a mess it was here, and things are really looking up. So I think it's time for the Browns to kick the door down, for the Steelers, the Bengals, and the Ravens look out, and maybe they can go to Pat Kattan's on Sunday with their wives because they'll be so sick of watching the Browns kick their butts. Hey, one other thing, a bittersweet note. I just heard on the radio today Pat Kattan's got bought out by a place called Michael's Crafts. So just a head up to the Steeler fans. You want to go craft store with your wife, it's now Michael's, not Pat Kattan's. Michael's. The new craft store for wussies, Jim.
You got it. All right, Mike, thank you very much. He is the Pakistan guy. Mike in Cleveland. 40 below, looking for a smoker. Listen, if I give it to somebody, if I had to give away a smoker every time somebody called this show today and said, hey, Rome, come on, man, hook me up. It's minus 20. It's minus 30. It's minus 40. I mean, like, isn't half the country at minus 40 right now? I'd have to give away thousands of these things. Come at it a different way. Come at it a different way than, yo, Rome, I'm cold. Give me my smoker. I know it costs a lot of money, but turn your heat on. Go put a sweater on. Put some gloves on. I'm looking for something different. Somebody to earn that thing. Something better than, hey, Rome, I'm freezing my ass off. Can you just get me the smoker? I mean, I could, but I won't. I need something better than that. When we come back, we continue from the row. Radio Row. We're getting ready for Super Bowl 53. Who you got? Carson Palmer will stop by next segment. Next hour, Juju Smith-Schuster, Saquon Barkley, and Torrey Holt. So we're going back to back to back to back on this Wednesday show. First up, though, here's a...
Live from Atlanta, site of Super Bowl 53, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Still on the row and still not on CBS Sports Network because the commissioner is continuing his annual media address. 1-800-636-8686. Carson Palmer is going to join me momentarily. Saquon Barkley next hour. And I've not given away the smoker yet. You can still win that thing. Drew in West LA tweets, "War using the San Fernando Valley's air is a smoker." You know, Drew, honestly, I can't believe you didn't get to that sooner. All these years of tweeting Drew West LA, Drew West LA, Drew West LA. And at no point did you ever take a run at the 818. Never took a run at Woodland Hills, Canoga Park, Van Nuys. I mean, it sounds like something the Butterknife would say. Van Nuys, Canoga Park, Woodland Hills. How about Tony Calabasas? Isn't that where that really wealthy family lives? Who are they? The Smartassians? Yeah, that's it, the Smartassians. Drew, how long did that take you to get there? Everybody on West LA wants to crack on the Valley. I'll never forget my longtime agent at the time, CAA agent, said to me when he first started work with me, "Yeah, man, Valley, do they have like restaurants there?" Yeah, Mike, they've got restaurants. They have restaurants. They have hardware stores. They have auto dealerships. Yeah, man, pretty much they got everything you have on the West Side, except more land, more space. That's kind of why people go over the hill, to get more for their buck, more bang for their buck. Drew in West L.A., "War using the San Fernando Valley air as a smoker." Good, Drew, because you weren't going to win anyway. Truly Independent tweets, "Mike in Cleveland sounds like he doesn't need to smoke anything. Hey, Froggy, get some Halls or Ricola instead." Hey, Froggy, I've been sucking back Halls the entire week since I got here. I'm no one to talk. Sean Beasy tweets, "Cleaning pools in Huntington Beach today. It's not even 70. Break off that smoker to Pool Guy Nation." See, now there's a guy who deserves it. This guy's out there cleaning pools in SoCal, and it's in the high 60s. If anybody's going to win that thing because of bad weather, it's that guy. But I'm going to stretch that thing out over another segment or two. If you want to win the smoker, best content gets it. As promised, we're joined right now by somebody who spent 15 years in the NFL, a three-time Pro Bowler, 12th all-time in passing yardage and TDs. Consensus All-American. He was the first pick in 2003 out of USC. He appears courtesy of FedEx Aaron Ground NFL program. Carson Palmer. Carson, what's up, man?
Jim, good to see you, man. It's been too long.
It's been too long. Really good to see you. You and I have talked during the year. Good to see you in person. We talked about your first year out of retirement. What's this year been like for you?
It's been great. I have no complaints right now. My body feels good. I haven't been hit. I haven't been body slammed. I haven't even been in the gym. So I feel good. I feel like I'm adjusting. I always felt like I would adjust pretty good to retire life because I'm really good at doing nothing.
Right.
And so I felt like I would do pretty well, and I've exceeded my own expectations.
All right, so your point about not getting into the gym, I mean, when you spend your entire life as a high-level athlete, every choice, every decision, man, it's just discipline, focus, deny yourself. But then again, some guys can't get away from it, whether it's vanity or sense of routine. How are you approaching the gym? Will you ultimately get back in, or do you like not being there?
I love not going in the gym because as you progress, you know, when you're 22, 23, you can you know, be done in 2.5, 3.5 hours. But as you get to 33, 34, 35, 36, in the off season, I was spending, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours between, you know, doing massage, acupuncture, lifting, running, training, you know, all the different things you have to do to prepare your body for the physical toll a season takes. I just got tired of it, and it wore on me. And that's one of the things that's so astonishing about Tom Brady is
that's where I was going next.
Yeah,
he just loves that stuff, right?
He just it hasn't burnt him out yet, and at some point it will, I would assume. But to be 41 and he's got to be spending 6, 7, 8, 9 hours a day just getting ready in July for August training camp and preparing himself for the season. And for him to continuously do this year after year after year, at some point you think he would burn out, but then you think, you know, he's Superman. He continued to do it till he's 45, supposedly.
Carson Palmer, my guest. So does the guy love the process or does he love the result? I mean, does anybody really want to work like that?
I think
so. Or maybe
so.
Is he the rare guy?
I think so. No, I think he loves both, the process and the result. I used to love the process. I used to love being in the gym. And then I all of a sudden just hit a wall and got tired of being in the gym. He continues to do it because he's playing at a high level and he's not getting injured. So he's obviously taking care of himself. And the producers, you know, the product speaks for itself. I mean, nine Super Bowls is mind-boggling.
I mean, I can't even get my head around that number, 9 Super Bowls. So quarterback to quarterback, when you look at him, what makes him Tom Brady? What makes him so unique? Is it that will to prepare, or does he have certain things you cannot teach that not everybody has?
Well, he's got the clutch gene, no doubt about that. He's got the preparation gene, but he plays for an owner that is willing to do whatever it takes to win. One of the best, I think, most underrated head coaches in the history of the game. I don't think Bill Belichick gets a lot of credit and a lot of respect. I still don't think he gets enough. I mean, just look back at last week's first half of that Kansas City game. I mean, 0 points, Patrick Mahomes in the first half, 40-something yards in the first half. That's not Tom Brady. That's Bill Belichick. And I know he's had coordinators, Matt Patricia and Romeo and Flores and all these guys, but that is Bill. Bill is the architect of that defense. He game plans. He may not call the play on the mic into the middle linebacker, but that is his defense. And playing for a great organization and a great head coach is a big part of their success.
You know, you mentioned the clutch gene. Explain what that is. Like, I always assumed that certain athletes could dial it up when they needed to, right? Like Joe Montana, whenever I watched him in a Super Bowl, this guy clearly played his best on the biggest stage. Like, he could somehow will it or somehow dial it up. Is it that, or is it just a clutch gene?
I just think there's some guys that no matter week one of, you know, in the second quarter of week one or the fourth quarter of the AFC Championship game, he can treat them all the same.
Huh.
Whether it's practice on a Wednesday during the season or it's 3rd and 10, where he hits Gronk down the sideline, it's the same ball. You know, there's not a little bit, oh, no, this is it. This is our last chance. There's just, he just goes out and performs and throws the ball and doesn't change his mindset, doesn't change his technique. That's another big thing, too, is your technique and form can get a little bit tight. Your whip and your stroke of the throw can get a little bit shorter. It stays the same. It's the same practice on Wednesday and on game days on Sundays. And he just naturally has that ability to perform the same, whether it's practice, AFC Championship, or week two, second quarter against, you know, whoever he's playing against week two.
Mechanically, he can repeat that process over and over again, and especially when things are tightest, that makes a lot of sense to me now. Carson Palmer joining us. In terms of longevity, he's got it. It's amazing to see him still going the way he is at this point in his career. Larry Fitzgerald has it. All right, you know Larry pretty well. What was your reaction when you heard that he was coming back for another season?
Not surprised. He's still producing. He still loves it. He still enjoys being in the gym and training and preparing. He still loves Sundays, and he can still do it at a high level. I mean, he is 16 years in, but he's only 33 or 34, so
right.
It's not really that old yet. I wish, you know, they had a legit shot at a Super Bowl next year, and we're one of the, you know, teams we're going to be talking about after this game as contenders. They're still in a little bit of a reboot mode there in Arizona, so it might be another struggle this upcoming season with the coaching change and all. But I mean, the guy's the best. He's a phenomenal player, a phenomenal teammate, and a great leader.
Carson Palmer joining us on the row. How beneficial is it to a young quarterback like Josh Rosen to have Fitz there for a year, 2 years, not just to throw him the ball, but spend some time around him, learn from him, watch the way he goes about his work?
It's huge, and I look at Patrick Peterson. Patrick Peterson came into an ideal situation. I mean, Patrick Peterson in Phoenix is a pillar in the community, does a ton of stuff. He's always out and about helping, doing something, doing charity events, dinners, golf tournaments, whatever it may be. That's the Larry Fitzgerald footprint. He had the opportunity to watch Larry do it, to see the success that Larry had on the field and off the field. So for Josh to come in and have now two guys that have kind of built a foundation of how it should be done and how it should be run, and watch them day in and day out. It's huge for Josh's future.
Yeah, if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, I want to welcome you back after the commissioner's address to the media. Nice to have you here. We're talking to Carson Palmer, and he is joining us today courtesy of FedEx Air and Ground NFL program, and we will get to that in just 1 minute. Carson, what about Bruce Arians? I want to ask you about him. Now, he said that he would not come out of retirement. He liked his life, unless it was a really good job and a really good opportunity. He gets a new opportunity. I know you're big on this guy. What was he like to play for, and how is he able to so connect with players, any kind of player?
Through respect. You know, as a coach or a player, you're always on a different wavelength from everybody around you. Everybody's a different age. Everybody's from a different place, a different background, a different upbringing, and the only way guys really connect on any field, basketball court, football field, baseball field, is through respect. And he earns your respect instantaneously. The way he carries himself, the way he runs his meetings, the way he teaches, the way he watches film with the defense, with the offense. I was most excited to see him back because I knew he was healthy. You know, he had a couple of health scares there at the end of his career with the Cardinals. And so, you know, I was a little bit worried about his health going forward. But to see him take a year off, and look back and say, I can take on the pressure and all the things that come with being the head coach of an organization. It just lets me know that he's healthy, that his wife, Chris, believes that he's healthy and that he can go out and do it, because that's the number one thing you see when you get up there in age is the health concerns and the pressure of being a head coach. The fact that he's healthy enough to get back into it is a great sign. But if I'm a Tampa Bay Buck fan, I'm ecstatic. He will turn that place around. There's enough talent there to do it quickly. I mean, he came into 2-14 or 4-12 Arizona Cardinal team the year before he got there and won 10 games and 10 games. And so he knows how to turn things around quickly, and he's up there in years too. So he's not looking at this as a five-year plan. He's looking at this as a one-year plan. If there's anybody that can turn things around in Tampa in 1 year, it's him.
Carson Palmer joining us for a few more moments. Now, again, you're working with FedEx Air and Ground program. It recognizes the top quarterback and running back performances this year. How can the fans get involved, and who are the guys you're looking at?
Yeah, so the voting closes tomorrow, and I actually get to announce the winner at the awards, at the honor show on Saturday night.
Good.
So voting closes tomorrow. You can vote on the NFL Twitter page. You can vote on NFL.com/FedEx. I voted for Patrick Mahomes, and the 50 touchdown passes he threw this year was amazing. And I voted for Ezekiel Elliott. But you have a chance to vote for the young buck and Patrick Mahomes, or you can vote for the two elder statesmen and Philip Rivers and Drew Brees. And on the ground side, you can vote for either Saquon Barkley, Todd Gurley, who'll be playing on Sunday, or Ezekiel Elliott.
Speaking of Gurley, what do you expect to see from him on Sunday, coming off that kind of baffling performance in the NFC Championship game?
I think New England's going to have the same game plan they did against Kansas City. They need to go in and run the ball and keep the ball out of Goff's hands. So I see them run the ball a bunch. And I think, you know, I look at the Rams team, and they're a play action, take a shot, play action. You know, if there's one thing Belichick's going to do, it's going to be taking away the play action shots, the big post routes that Brandon Cooks runs, the go balls that Brandon Cooks, the big go ball he caught 2 weeks ago in New Orleans. He's going to take that stuff away. So I think they just hand the ball off. I think Gurley touches the ball 24, 25 times and catches a couple screen passes. But I think this is a running football game, control the clock. And both these coaches got to be thinking, don't give them the time of possession. We need to own the time of possession and run the ball efficiently and take our shots when they're there. But we need to put this game in Todd Gurley's hands and then Brady's hands at the end of the game in the fourth quarter.
So who do you like?
I like the Rams.
You do?
I like the Rams. I just collectively, that roster, top to bottom, they don't have the experience. They don't have the rings that New England has. But it's an extremely talented team. I mean, from top to bottom, from the corner position, the defensive line in L.A. is phenomenal. The offensive line play in L.A. is phenomenal. And, you know, I know New England's been there a bunch, and they've done it, and they've won Super Bowls, and they've been here, and they know this feeling, and L.A. doesn't, but there's just so many good players on that Rams team.
I love that pick. I'm trying to get there myself. I love that pick. Final thought, if you're the Rams, I know you love their D-line. You know, the point is you got to get to Brady. You got to knock him off his spot. You got to pressure him, disrupt his rhythm. Nobody's done that, not lately. That offensive line has kept him so clean. Do you think the Rams can get consistent pressure on him?
You know, Dante Scarnecchia is the best offensive line. He keeps trying to retire, and Mr. Kraft keeps writing
it.
He's making more than most college football head coaches, I'm sure. what they do up front with their front three, they jump set you. They're not going to let Aaron Donald use his get off and come flying upfield. Most offensive lines kick back and set. New England jumps at you. And as you watch New England play, there's always this grouping and this smashing and smorgasbord of four defensive linemen and five offensive linemen falling into each other and tripping. But it creates this wall, and there's no gaps to get through. And if there's one thing Aaron Donald could do is he can split an A-gap or a B-gap. So he can wedge himself in between the guard and tackle. What they do by jump-setting you is they're not going to let Aaron get a bunch of momentum coming off the ball. If they're, one thing I could see them doing is moving him to the outside and rushing the edge at the tackle.
Hey, remind me again in 30 seconds or less why you're not a full-time analyst, Carson.
Because I love being retired.
You got it. Carson Palmer joining me in person, man. Really good to see you in person. I appreciate the
visit.
Great
to see you.
All the time, but great to see you in person.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, Carson Palmer. Expertly done, and he's got the Rams. We'll come back. Hour number three next. Former Ram great Torrey Holt is my guest. Don't go anywhere.